Hi.
Hello there.
I'm like, hey.
Hi.
You're like, hey, bitch.
So, it's Jar 94.
Yeah.
I'm the P-Baw.
I am the Ba-Boo-Ba-Ba.
Ba-Boo-Ba-Ba.
And I poop sometimes.
You poop. We've got a butt story, don't we?
A little bit of a butt story.
A butt story.
Yeah. Yep.
I have a story for you.
Ba-Boo-Ba-Ba just told us before we started. We got to just tell us about what's going on in Canada in this one incident.
So you want to hear, you guys want to hear a story?
I mean, I need to know how it ends.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
Yeah.
So I started just, just to let y'all know, I did start this story before we pushed record. Right. So they heard the beginning, but yes. I'm going to back up.
We didn't.
All our reactions are going to be fake.
Yep. Fake as shit.
I'm going to tell you all the story now that, you know, they know the beginning, but you guys don't know. So
you got to hear it.
If you're squeamish about gore.
Oh, fuck. This is more a Dipshit Files.
Fast forward.
Well, I was researching for the Dipshit Files episodes and pulling in information, and I was listening to some videos, and you know how YouTube does. It will... If you push autoplay, it will just automatically play the next video.
Yep.
And so the algorithm thinks that I needed to see this video. Now, it wasn't very long. I was riveted to the video and the information that was given, so I watched the whole thing. It was only about 20 minutes long, not very long at all. But anyways, so sometime in the recent past, I think it was 2019, there was a young man, 22 years old, loved by his family, loved by his friends. You know, he was just an all-around sweet, great guy. He traveled to, I think he lived in Winnipeg, and he traveled to Vancouver for the, he worked with a carnival, and he was a barker with the carnival.
What a dick.
So he got people to play carnival games, basically, was his
total
whole thing.
Dick.
Yeah.
So
had it coming, obviously.
The fair was over, so he jumped the bus, the Greyhound bus, and he's heading back to Winnipeg. I think these cities are correct. So he gets on the bus. The bus is packed with people. They're about an hour and a half to 2 hours in their ride. They stop for a smoke break. Everyone gets off the bus and mills about and talks to each other and smokes and does their thing. Everything seems fine. They get back on the bus. And about 5 minutes back into this bus ride-ish, this young man had fallen asleep. He pulled his hat down over his eyes, and he'd fallen asleep in his seat.
And he was sleep around strangers. Mm-hmm.
And he was sitting next to a man who was very quiet, and he was very nice, and he'd talked to people. In hindsight, people said, well, I talked to him. He seemed fine. Sitting in front of him is a off-duty military person or retired or something. Okay, another young person. And this man, the military guy who's sitting in front of these two men, the Chinese man, he's actually the guy's from China, but he's a Canadian citizen now. Mm-hmm. And the other guy is born in Canada. So he says he heard a strange noise, like a grunt, that was kind of alarming. So he turned around to look, and as he turned around, this Chinese man pulls out a knife and starts stabbing this young guy in the neck.
Damn.
And he got about... The thing that bothered him so much was this guy who's doing the stabbing, his face was just devoid of any emotion at all. He was kind of far away, like he had that thousand-yard stare or whatever they call that. Mm. So
he really wanted to go to the carnival.
The military guy had a thought, I need to save this guy, and so he begins the attempt to save him until his vision shifts to the guy being stabbed and realize, okay, he's gone. There is no saving this guy. He's obviously dead. The Chinese man got about 9 stabs in before the guy yelled, hey, 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 what are you doing? Everyone on the bus, no one's paying attention to what's going on. And by the time people do start noticing a couple seconds in that something's wrong, mm-hmm. It panic and pandemonium. They realize somebody's stabbing somebody on the bus. There's blood everywhere. We got to get the fuck off the bus. So they're fleeing the bus. They go up there. They tell the bus driver, pull over. Dude is fucking hacking and slashing somebody in the back. We need off this bus. So the
bus driver's like, again?
Again.
Fucking Canada.
Damn it. So the bus driver pulls over. They're calling 911. It's not 911 in Canada. It's something different. But
it's Moose Moose.
I think it's 911.
Goose.
Is it?
Yeah. It's Moose Moose Goose.
I thought it was 811. Which I thought was interesting.
No, that's who you call in case you want to dig. 811.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways, so they're calling the authorities, right? And everyone's piling off this bus. And the guy, the military guy, gets off the bus, talks to the bus driver and says, hey, I don't know what's going on. Dude has this fucking vacant look on his face. I was going to try and save him. Guy being stabbed is obviously dead. The authorities are now on their way. They turn to look through the window. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed a part. Mm. But while everyone is running off the bus, and so we're backing up a little bit. While everyone's running off the bus and telling the bus driver, call 911. Mm-hmm. Blah, 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 blah. This is chaos. By this point, the Chinese man had started sawing the guy's head off with his knife. Back and forth motion to get this guy. He's trying to remove the guy's head. Everyone is just like, you know, there was vomit involved. It was just terrible.
I can imagine.
So
it's not a normal day to day.
They get off the bus. Guy's talking to the bus driver. They turn to look. And at this point, it's only been a couple, like a minute maybe. I don't know, maybe a minute and a half. Not very long, maybe 2 minutes. But they turn to look through the window. They see this man and they see him basically pulling shit up over his head. And like what he's doing is he's pulling the guy's intestines out. They see the intestines like flying through the air. So basically he's disemboweling now, vacant stare, no expression, now pulling like ropes out of a hole. He's pulling this guy's fucking intestines out.
And happy Friday, Jerry News.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
The authorities arrive eventually. It doesn't take them long.
Real quick.
But, yeah.
What the fuck did that dude say to him during the smoke break? It was like, can I have a smoke? And he's like, nah, bitch. He's like, oh, bitch, okay, go to sleep. Go to sleep. I'm sitting next to you.
So the authorities do arrive. It doesn't take them long, but this guy's making quick work of this other guy, right? So the authorities get there. They see this absolute gore that's going on the bus. And I'm going to just kind of skip through because there was a lot of shit.
Bus driver's like, God damn it. Hose this shit. I know that's going to take some fucking. You know
how many incident reports I'm going to have to fill out for this?
This is going to be a long process.
There is a little bit that took place. First of all, there was a 4-hour standoff before this guy was able to be subdued. Okay.
Well, it's because it takes a long time for the guys on the Mounties to ride on their horses and mooses to get there.
Really?
Mooses.
So, yeah.
Those big pants are not aerodynamic.
Right?
Yeah. So,
it's about show. It's about show, of course. It's not about expedience.
Dude decides, once the police arrive, he decides, oh, shit. At that point, something, like, he gains some clarity, I guess, and he knows that he has to get out of there. So he tries to escape the bus. But the bus driver's locked it, so he can't get out. Mm. Okay? He's now trapped in the bus. So,
and he's hungry.
So he decides to try and steal the bus. Nice. So he gets in the driver's seat to try and start the bus, but the bus driver has disabled the start function remotely.
Nice.
So he's basically trapped in this bus.
Who knew that was a fucking high-tech bus technology in Canada?
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Nice.
So dude is now trapped. There is a standoff at this point. The police want him off the bus. He's not getting off the bus. So he now says, well, I'm fucked, so I may as well finish the job. As if the job wasn't finished already.
Yeah, it seemed like it was.
So he did.
He got the head off. He got the guts out.
He did. He took the head off. He actually took the head and slammed it up against the window for gore effect or whatever. He was very angry. He wanted them to let him off the bus. He dropped the head on the floor.
I feel like that would keep me, with my previous decision of locking him in there, if I started putting the head up there, I'd be like, I'm good with the lock.
Yeah, I'm good
with
the lock.
I'm going to keep the lock on.
So
dude just set the whole thing on fire at this point.
He dismembered this guy. Because in 4 hours, he can do a lot of damage, and he did. He dismembered this guy. When they arrested this guy, he was covered in blood, obviously, and probably shit and everything else. But
so closed casket on that one.
Exactly. Yeah. So he gets arrested, and when they book him into jail, they discover 3 fingers, an ear, and a nose in his pockets. When they do the autopsy on the body after they've collected all the parts from all over the bus, they discovered he was mostly there. However, parts of his heart, his liver, and his tongue were completely missing.
They were
nowhere
in
to be
guy's
found.
Lower intestine.
Yes.
Fuck.
So he ate those things.
Damn.
And so he goes through trial.
So he knew what he was doing, kind of. He's like, oh,
he
that's a long.
Come to find out. So this guy is he was married. He was a very kind of like a well-known tech guy. He worked in software development. And
too many 1010s for that guy.
Basically, something, he was mentally ill, obviously. Yeah, obviously. And I don't know if he was off his meds or if he was undiagnosed mentally ill. But basically what happened was he left his wife. He started selling all of his belongings. He sat on the corner before the corner where he caught this Greyhound bus. He sat on that corner and he sold his laptop. Really nice techie laptop. He had a little for sale sign on it that says $600. Young kid, teenager comes by and basically barters with him. Guy gives it up for $60. Teenager goes home and tells his mom, I got this laptop for $60. What the hell? Mom says, I need to look in that laptop before you even open it because I don't know what's on it.
Yeah.
So she tries to get into it. Come to find out it's password protected and they can't get into it. So the kid goes back to the corner. Dude's still there and says, hey, man, I can't get in this laptop. I need your password. He gives him the password to his laptop. Lucid remembers, you know, here's my password. Very nice. Hope you enjoy it. You know, he was a very sweet man to this kid. No problems whatsoever. The kid thought he was really nice. Obviously off his rocker to sell such a nice laptop for $60 or it's stolen.
Mm-hmm.
But he knew the password. So anyways, he goes back home. Mom looks on the laptop. And there's nothing on that laptop. There's some work files. There's a letter of resignation type stuff. There's nothing on that laptop. So she's like, here, go ahead. Good find type thing to her son. This guy then gets on the Greyhound and does this. Okay. So he's arrested, booked into jail. At his trial, he's declared mentally unfit to stand trial. Because he's mentally ill.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has moments of lucidity. I don't exactly know how the trial went from start to finish, but I do know he was put in jail. He was put in prison for whatever it was I don't know if it was voluntary manslaughter or whatever, but he did go to prison. But
what did that dude say to him when they went out for
nothing?
A smoke?
That's the thing. Nothing. Nothing.
Trying to be funny. Yeah.
Basically, the perpetrator stated that he had been hearing voices for a while in his head. And when he was on the bus, the voices in his head told him that this man was a bad person and was going to kill him if he didn't kill him first.
Yeah, and, you know, if you just have to kill him then. You don't have to
the voices,
wear his head as a hat.
But the voices also said that he would reanimate if his body remained together.
Oh.
So he had to pull everything apart. And all the pieces that made him work, like his heart and his legs.
You got to eat some of that, buddy.
He had to pull it all apart. So
you got some sauce in your fucking little bag there. You just pull that out. You're good.
So I think his name was David Lee. But anyways, the perpetrator. So the guy goes to prison. He isn't in there for very long before he is paroled. And let out of prison.
What?
They paroled the guy because he's now on medication.
No.
And he has been declared fit to be put back into society.
Disagree.
Your reaction right here was the Canadian public's
Canada
reaction.
Was like,
no shit.
We don't say it loud, okay, but we're going to talk now.
They
no
were pissed.
To that shit.
So, you know what the authorities
like
did?
Like if he stabbed a kid in the arm and a kid had to go to the hospital and that was the end of it, maybe.
Most Canadians do that.
Maybe parole him after he's got his meds straight. Out. But I think the line for that parolable offense, medication or not, probably
the severing of the head, maybe?
Like two stabs to the neck max.
Yeah,
yeah.
But sawing off gracious. The head, disembowelment. Okay, so dude was paroled. The Canadian public was in a fucking uproar. The outcry was insane. Yeah. So you know what the authorities did?
And they got a lot of problems up there. Go ahead. What's that?
They allowed this guy. What do they call that? Basically, they changed his name for him.
They put him in WitPro?
They basically took his record and like locked it down.
No.
Changed his name.
Who are these people in charge of us?
Moved him to another area so he could continue on with his life. And
both of my eyes just blinked independently.
I noticed that.
I say children run the world. I'm pretty sure it's babies. Babies run
and
the world.
This literally was not that long ago. So dude is out there. I think it's rumored that he went back to China. I don't know. Basically, dude's out there in Canada somewhere.
We should warn China. Somebody should warn
them. I know, right?
Like, this guy's a problem.
This guy's an issue. So, of course, I heard this story. I'm listening. It's not a very long story, but I'm riveted to the story. And then the trial hits, and I'm like, okay, mentally unfit. Okay, what? Paroled what? Of course they're pissed. Yeah, I'm with you guys. What? They did what? They changed his fucking name, and now he's just out there?
Yep.
He's just out there working, doing things.
Dude, hooray. Fuck all of that. Yep. I mean, like, I got.
So that's my story.
I have a lot of empathy for mental illness, but if your mental illness causes you to literally dismember and eat somebody,
yeah,
strike all the strikes.
You probably shouldn't.
Come on now, let's be reasonable.
You probably shouldn't be reintegrated at
that point. No, you need a fucking handler at the very least.
Yeah.
Like fucking, you eat these meds on the hour, or else we have to euthanize you. Like that's sorry, you're just broken.
They all come with.
Even if it's not your fault, like until we figure out a way to fix this.
Yeah, you're broken.
This is your life. Like, holy shit.
What happens? Because it sounds like he had amassed a life. He had a marriage and he had enough money to buy a nice laptop, had a tech job. So he was doing a tech job. This reminds me of, I read a book a long time ago about a man who, same kind of thing.
TBI.
Had a normal life, was married, loved his family. Then just one day, killed his whole family, burned down the house. And afterwards...
That's becoming not a very... I mean, that's...
Yeah, shit.
Which
I've had
guy?
Days like that. Right. Come on now.
No, I'm like, which one? I think I've researched 10 of those.
Well, this one in particular had to do with a brain tumor. He developed a brain tumor in a specific part of his brain because when it was removed, his personality shifted in like the remorse level of this guy, according to the book. And it was a book about free will and how it's like, well, that's not free will. That guy's brain fucked him.
Yeah, that's
wild. Just a little thing happened, and then he murdered the people that he loved the most in the world. And as soon as they removed that, he was back to normal, at least as far as people could tell. Hmm. And with that, if that's true, if that theory is true, how do you punish somebody like that? It's like you were afflicted by something that caused the worst thing that could possibly happen in your life, but you're legitimately maybe not responsible. I mean, you're responsible, but had no wherewithal, was not, you weren't there for all intents and purposes. So what do you do with that? I mean,
that's
and what about that? I mean,
that's a rough one for me. That I don't know. I'm really, I don't have answers for
humans
that.
Humans aren't really equipped for that kind of stuff. That takes a whole lot of nuance and like,
it does.
I don't mean you. I just mean in general, our judicial systems, like, we don't fucking know
about
normal shit.
Well, the challenge that we face here, and I'm going to talk about the U.S. because that's where I live and that's what I'm familiar with, but the challenge that we face here is that our judicial system has developed this one punishment for all reaction because the population is so large. And I understand that. You know, if
mandatory,
it's a punishment that we kind of have to like across the board. This is wrong. And y'all get punished no matter what for this thing. If there were only 10 people in the U.S., they'd be able to say, well, what's your story, man? Tell me why.
Right. Yeah,
Let's talk about it. But with the number of people that we have here, you have to have these blanket laws that if broken, they have blanket punishments because of the sheer population. Now, each incident has personal personal information and personal experience backed behind it.
Mm-hmm.
People have a story as to how they got there, why they got there. Some people, it makes no sense. It's like, that makes no sense. Or they don't have a story at all, and they're just like, I'm broken, and I felt like it. Other people have stories behind what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And if we had the ability to listen to the nuance... The judicial system had the ability to listen to nuance and not have to blanket platform punishments.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe things would be different, maybe, but that nuance is what sways the jury one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it really depends. And it's an interesting thing.
If I was on the jury and somebody was like, there's a good chance that my client has a brain tumor.
That is,
I would have a hard time with that.
Right. And that's where, you know, I don't know what I would do with the brain tumor thing.
If I saw the video though, I might change my mind. It's like, oh, that guy doesn't matter.
Why though? But why? That's just it. Yeah, yeah. Why?
Just because of the, I wouldn't actually change my mind. But
the video shouldn't matter.
No, it shouldn't.
And and it's kind of an interesting thing because
No.
I'm sorry, I got all serious.
Synthetic horse pussy,
this isn't the dipshit files. So I did.
It sounds like it though, because I'm talking over you. With poor attempts at humor for the masses.
What do you think, Shaden? What do you think?
Oh, I see. I have a lot of thoughts.
Me, right?
I have a lot of thoughts, and at least one of them is better than whatever Zach's going to say.
I'll agree with that. That's pretty true. Let the Canadian speak about his home turf.
No, that's...
Speak, Canada,
that
speak.
That is a really fucking tough one, because... Like, anytime I encounter something like that, like the brain tumor thing, mm-hmm. or the medication aspect of it,
right.
I always try to frame it in a different context to figure out how I feel about it. It's like okay, so pretty heinous, yeah, in both of those cases. Mm-hmm. But, like, there are...
Well, what they're trying to say is they're not a shitty person. They're a shitty person because of a brain tumor, or they're only shitty when they're not on their meds.
Something out of their control.
So the thing to me is, A, how do you prove that mm-hmm. beyond a shadow of a doubt?
Right.
Because that would have to be of paramount importance right. in that situation. And also, like, how are other people expected to continue to share space with right. somebody after they've done something like that, whatever the reason was, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, it just begs the philosophical question, is there ever an acceptable reason for doing something that heinous?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And like, that's...
I don't think so.
That seems pretty close, but I kind of don't think so either. And like, it's tough for me to say that because, like I said, I do have a lot of empathy for mental illness mm-hmm. and the shit that it can cause you to do. But at the same time, like, I feel that it is your responsibility to stay on top of that shit and manage it before it ever causes something like that.
What if it's undiagnosed?
The brain tumor thing is a weird one. Like, that one's throwing me, because, like, how the fuck could you even know that?
And what if they could prove it without a shadow of a doubt?
But also, like, how do we know for sure that brain tumor being removed is just solved the problem? You know,
I would say there would
have to be stages of, like, it's not like, oh, well, he's fixed, so just turn him loose again. Nah, man, like, you got to work through mm-hmm. years and years of, like, okay, you get this much, and then, okay, well, you've done good with that, you get this much, mm-hmm. and, like, maybe after a long period of that, maybe a conversation could be had, but even still, man, like, but as far as it concerns, like, the meds thing, mm-hmm. it's like, dude,
yeah, mm-hmm.
when you're lucid and you understand, if you don't take these meds, you will turn into a literal psychopath. As far as I'm concerned, it's your responsibility to make sure that happens,
it's
no matter
your
what.
One job.
Yeah.
Wow.
And mm-hmm. if you fumble that, that was your one and only chance.
Do you know how many times I've heard the excuse, I felt good, I didn't think I needed them anymore? Do you know how many times I've heard that?
Yeah.
Yep. And then they've turned around and they've done some heinous act.
Yeah, but that shit doesn't fly as far as I'm concerned, though. Like, it's like, oh, I felt good, I thought I would just be fine. No. You, like, that's when you're like, oh, I don't think I need the Nicorette patch anymore because I don't think I need to smoke now.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Give it a trial run.
Yeah.
when the oopsie is you dismember a man in public for no fucking reason.
Right.
No, you don't get that option.
No. Nope.
Yeah. You don't get to be, oh, I didn't think I needed them. No, that's the rest of your life, period. End of story. Like, no, man.
Bad choice.
No.
Well, there are some tough.
That's a tough one.
There are some extenuating circumstances in these cases that are similar to what you're talking about in the research that I'm doing. So, you know, there's med issues. There's, like, TBI is a big one. Traumatic brain injury is another one. So... how do you punish somebody? And it is a conversation in the judicial system within itself, within the attorneys and stuff. How do you punish someone when they're acting out of character because of mental illness or because of a brain tumor or because of a traumatic brain injury?
Yeah.
When they're acting out of character, it's not them. They're saying it's not them. It's out of their control. Yes. That's something that should be examined. I think it needs to be talked about, and we mm-hmm. need more research. Sure. However, it does not negate the fact that they cut a man's head off and disemboweled him on a Greyhound bus.
While they're and that figuring family, it out, they should probably be away from society.
Right. And that family of the people, whoever they are, that have suffered the damage of this person's mental health or TBI mm-hmm. or brain tumor. That family needs solace of some kind, right. not vengeance, but solace, knowing that the person who committed these crimes is no longer milling about in Safeway picking out fresh bananas.
Yeah.
Society you know? Doesn't put
it's,
up with
that's that tough too, though, because like if you bring it home, right? Like if that was my brother that got hacked to mm-hmm. pieces on the bus, mm-hmm. every moment that guy was sucking air, no matter what the reason was, right. there would be no solace for me, mm-hmm. you know? So it's like, yeah. And also, like, if rehabilitation, like, let's entertain that notion, like, if rehabilitation is the answer in some of these cases, mm-hmm. or that's the route that's chosen, mm-hmm. where do the resources for that come from?
Right.
The taxpayer.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I'm not even just talking economic, like, who's supposed to be expected to, you know, go through the necessary training, have the right skill set,
exactly.
have the time that they're going to dedicate to this. And like, how does that shit get handed from one stage to the next? Like, that's a huge undertaking.
Well, rehabilitation for violent offenders should be an area of expertise.
It definitely should
be. I think that would attract some
absolutely
folks.
Should be. But I mean, it being a high paying job would also run the risk of mm-hmm. shitty people doing it for the wrong reasons. So
for sure.
But they should have it. It should be an area of expertise nonetheless, mm-hmm. whether it's high paying or not.
I agree.
Definitely.
And I think there's definitely people in the world, like, especially if there was some incentive, like mm-hmm. it would go both ways. Like, there's people that are wired that would be like, yeah, I want to tackle that. Mm-hmm. Like, that's sure. something I'm passionate about and I want to tackle it.
I got a question, though. Is there rehabilitation?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
Something happens to our brains when we become desensitized to gore and violence. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's something that actually shifts. When we witness it, we're damaged as just your average Joe, right? We have this damage, and some of us are more damaged than others. Mm-hmm. However, if you're committing the crime, and you're doing it, and you're seeing it first person, and you're smelling it, and you're feeling it, what has happened in your brain, and is there a way to rehabilitate that?
Yeah, that's the question. I kind of feel like maybe not.
It's probably case by case.
Yeah,
it just depends on your brain chemistry.
Will they ever be horrified of their experience that they committed this crime? Like, literally horrified?
That was my question. Is there any information on this guy as far as did he show remorse? Was he nice in prison?
I don't know.
He got paroled, so he obviously, his behavior changed quite a bit, where they're like, oh, let's let him out.
I literally watched one video with, you know, attached articles and stuff. I didn't do any research, so I don't know.
But still, like, you just wonder.
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of person he was after the crime, and it's like, you killed a bunch of people? Mm-hmm. Or it's like, oh, obviously you killed a bunch of people.
Right.
You're itching to kill me right now as we're speaking. Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, nah.
You know what?
Interesting.
I take it all back. Like, I think, what's a little casual stabbing and dismembering in polite company? Let's not blow this out of proportion.
Keeps the amount of people riding the bus down, so I can ride the bus in peace.
Three fingers, an ear, a nose, and a tongue.
The nose thing made me think of Shaden. It's like, oh, he's got a little Shaden in him. We'll keep the nose to nibble on later.
Solid grab bag of souvenirs. Jesus Christ.
That's a good necklace or something.
What the hell, man?
That's a necklace for sure.
That's some heavy shit. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't help but imagine what the friends and family of the dude that just mm-hmm. got diced.
Right.
Like, that's...
It was very recent, and we just were laughing.
That has completely... There's nothing dark enough that I won't make some jokes about it, but on a more serious note, it's like, holy fuck. Like, mm-hmm. that ruined so many lives.
Yes. Yes, it did.
Just because bro failed to take his medication.
This
dude had people in his life. He had a career. He was uh-huh. married.
Ex-wife, maybe kids.
You know, yeah. And he was like, it's somewhere in the process of him torching that. Like, nobody, like, did nobody know? Like, hey.
Yeah.
Take your meds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
So tackle him, hold him down, make him take his meds. Like, there was a lot of shit that happened between A and Z.
Right. Like, that was missing from the story, too. I know I'm sharing a story with big holes in it because I didn't research this.
But if anybody in your life starts selling everything that they care about, like, just start asking questions.
Right.
It might be no big deal because they got a big change they want to make, or they want to invest or some shit.
Absolutely. But still.
Yeah, that's worth investigating always, 100% of the time.
Yeah, but always keep, even still, even if there's great answers and stuff, you don't have to intervene or step in, but keep one eye on that person.
For sure. Especially if they're selling it for nothing, giving it away. Yeah. Yeah. That's like a,
not
hey,
a
hey,
yeah, what's going on here?
Let's, I'm here to talk. You don't want to talk? I'm going to stay and we're going to talk anyway. Yeah. You could be mad at me. You want to fight? We can fight, but I'm not going to go anywhere.
Like, we're ordering pizza in.
Yeah, you're sketching me out and I love you and I want to figure this shit out and make sure that we are good to go.
Right, right. And, you know, it does that, that basically that leads us all to believe that the responsibility of somebody else's mental health and their actions falls upon the actions taken fall upon the loved ones and the family members and friends of the individual who's losing their shit.
Yeah.
You know, that
opens
up. And
I guess that's not what I'm saying.
Right.
Because I don't really believe that either. Like, at the end of the day, I think your shit is your shit to manage. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I think also that an honorable person would want to actively be vigilant for that kind
of
shit and try to be some guiding force towards a net positive. You know? Yes. I personally would
needs to, to tackle stuff.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Like I'm definitely not blaming anybody in that dude's life for not stopping that from happening. You just can't help but wonder, it's hard to imagine there wasn't at least some point, some fork along the road where it could have been mitigated.
Just with the information you gave us, it sounds like there was definitely a space in there where somebody could be like, dude,
it wasn't like he woke up to a normal day in his life and was unmedicated and was like, oh, today's the day. You know,
there
was a period of time that passed. So,
It sounds like if he left his wife, maybe that was a process or something. Or maybe it was just all that day. We don't know. But
you know, now all these questions are making me want to actually dive in and research it and have answers.
Soon on the Dipshit, maybe a Dipshit file bonus. We can talk and fill in the blanks here.
I have a couple of really crazy stories for the Dipshit files that I've been researching, and one of them led me to this guy.
I can't wait to bring it back again.
Yeah.
Things to look forward to.
Next week. Yeah.
If you're a little messed up.
Right.
Friends are friendly.
So this kind of leads us to a conversation that the internet's been having this week, and I'm almost certain that everybody's seen it if they spent some time on any of their preferred platforms.
I hadn't before you placed it in my lap.
That's right, but
I didn't want it. You put it there anyway.
I know. It's really...
I had to look at it.
Whenever the internet presents something and it's not funny...
I think it peed on me a little.
You always kind of... Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm part of a trend. Damn it. Yeah. But anything funny, it's like, thank you,
internet. I don't want to be in your club.
I know. This club sucks. It sucks. But it's the bear versus man.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are probably tired of it.
My money's on the bear,
now.
Dude. Let's go.
Yeah, that's basically it. So it was basically asking women if you were in the woods alone, and would you rather be stumbling across a man that you don't know, a random man, or a bear?
Yes.
And without fail... I asked you
immediately,
like,
without a second thought, a bear.
And a lot of people got offended that we're males. But I immediately was like, I'd rather fuck it. I mean, a bear, it's like, I could probably get away from it. Not if it wants to eat me, but there's a great chance it won't want to eat me.
Right.
With a person, it's like, just like we were talking about. It's like, what are you doing out in the woods, buddy? I try and avoid people all the time.
Well, that's just it. So, okay, so depending on why you're in the woods.
It's like, this is a big-ass woods. Why are you here?
Yeah, but why are you here?
Right, fair.
You know? So, but I mean, depending
I'm
on...
I'm looking to piss on Smurfs. That's what I'm doing. there
depends. There are a lot of questions. I mean, why are both people in the woods?
I got problems, too.
But my answer was, without fail, I mean, without hesitation, a bear. Because you know what to expect from a bear. I mean, you know, the bear is going to, 9 times out of 10, 8 times out of 10, flee from you anyways, because you don't belong there.
But it's a simple maul and kill.
Well, yes.
Once it gets you, I mean, it's going to hurt, and they're going to rip you apart and eat you while you're alive. But you know you're going to be mauled and killed.
You know what to expect from a bear. They're either going to turn and leave you alone, or they're going to tear you apart, maul you. But they're going to eat you. They're going to maul, they're going to kill you, right? And their whole point is to end your life. So they're going to do it quickly. It's not like a cat that's going to throw you around. Or the man, who might be a psycho, who is going to string you up and do all these things to you.
And there are things worse.
I don't know about part of that. Like, I don't think bears are malicious intentionally like cats are, but I also don't think that they're like paying too close of attention to whether you're alive or not because of that guy.
That guy that got attacked
and he was like getting his head chewed on while he's still conscious and like, oh my God, I'm being eaten by a bear.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
Yeah, like it's not a good way to die.
No, absolutely not.
There are definitely things worse that humans will do
and have done.
Well, I would still, because I'm with you.
I'm not disagreeing.
Through the research, so many years of my life, I have I'm familiar with some of the things that humans are capable of.
Yeah,
and
sure.
None of that. I would much rather be mauled by a bear.
But also,
because it ends
also,
fairly quickly.
It's situational too, right? Because like if I had mm-hmm. been lost in the woods and I ran out of food and water yesterday, mm-hmm. and I didn't know where I was, I would much rather see any person, period, than a bear at that point.
I hadn't
thought about that. My God, where did you come? Do you have water? Help me, please. Yeah. You know, so yeah. It's like,
well, I would
the
still
the bear's not
be,
going to share its berries.
Nope.
I would still be sus. Even if I was out of food, out of water, lost, didn't know where I was, came across a man.
I mean, there's part of me that might be suspicious, but I would roll those dice for sure if I was like starving and out of water.
As a man, because you're big. And
I probably,
like, I guess.
I mean, if you're already dying of exposure, like, I think you would probably be looking for help wherever you could get it, no matter who
you are. Yes, I agree, but I think I would be less scared to be approached by a bear than still have to walk up to this person who's in the middle of the woods. I'm lost. Mm-hmm. I'm starving. I'm out of water. There's a man standing there. And I do think it's situational.
Yeah.
You know, body
like,
language.
What
is it telling
what's he got
me?
With him?
Yeah. What does his eyes look like? Yeah. You know, is he a hunter?
Yeah.
But still, even still, I don't know because we're out in the middle of nowhere. He could do whatever he wanted. No one would hear me scream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
the bear's might hear me scream. The whole point
here is, in my opinion, just a display of a very tiny fraction of a few have ruined it for all.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Well, I definitely just across the board, I trust animals way more than I trust people.
Perfect, I do too.
They're more predictable.
Well, yeah, animals. You can always trust animals to be animals, and like not every animal of the same species is going to behave the same.
No, but they don't enter situations with ulterior motives.
Some version of these options is probably what's going to go down here. And also, I had the same answer as you when Zach brought it to me,
right?
And it was being in my lab. It was. I was like, well, I mean, I'd go bear personally under normal circumstances for several reasons. One simple reason is if I'm out in the woods alone, it's probably because I wanted to be out in the woods alone.
Right.
And if I run into somebody, I'm like, God damn it.
Yes.
I was trying to get away from you.
We're supposed to spread apart. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm spreading apart.
So there's that. But also my other answer was just like you're saying, I'm like, I know what to expect from a bear.
Yes.
Like, I don't know what to expect from other people.
Right.
Like, I grew up in the woods of British Columbia. There are bears every fucking where. Like, I had bears in my yard. I'd be walking home from school and run into a black bear. Like, on the street, in town. You know? So it's like, bears don't really...
I had a bear in my mud room one year in Colorado.
They're funny little fuckers. Black bears so especially cute. Are funny little fuckers. Yeah. Like, I mean, they can mess you up under the right circumstances, but typically black bears don't really want to mess with you.
They're goofy.
Polar bears and grizzly.
Like, they can get territorial or, you know, if you happen to run into one that's starving, then, you know, like, there are situations. Grizzly, different story.
Grizzlies and polar bears.
Stay the fuck away from grizzly bears if at all possible. Mm-hmm. I ran into one time and it scared the living shit out of me, but I don't. I've definitely like been walking down the street home from school, seen a black bear, and been like, "Whoa, shit!" And then I like, you know what to do, and you either scare it off or you just go a different way home,
right?
You know, I've definitely been walking down the street with like some random stranger walking towards me from the other direction, and I'm like, "Oh fuck!
What do I do?
Is going to be a fight to the death? You never know what's going to happen."
Humans are unpredictable.
The reason we have guns and knives and shit is for people. I mean, the thing that's weird, like you said, there's a small percentage of people that ruin it for everyone.
Yeah.
We can't teach psycho men to not be psychos, or psycho women for that matter, but the dangerous men,
psycho people in general,
like we were talking about before, rehabilitation is
psycho's gonna psycho.
Yeah, exactly.
Right,
what do? We don't know what to do for the rehabilitation.
Yeah,
so we can't unteach. So there's nothing that can be done other than like keep an eye on that fucking guy or bring back the paddle balls and the fucking huggy jackets or whatever.
Yeah, right. Arkham Asylum worked great in Gotham.
God damn it.
Batman never had a problem with that, bro.
Well, who voted on throwing that away? Like, let's maybe talk about that again. Paddle balls were kind of a nice thing.
Definitely not how we got the Joker or anything. Yeah, it's totally fine.
Okay, it's maybe not. We're not figuring it out because babies run the world. But the thing that's interesting and I think kind of telling is just, and I get it, how many people, men, were shocked to hear that? And I think a lot of the pushback is just like, what? What are you talking about? We protect you from bears. We're the ones that are out there keeping the bears away. And if
not
comes
all
to your
of
house,
us, not even most of us, dude. Right. That's fine. You know what? I'm going to call out some people here, but I bet you the overwhelming majority of guys that got offended and were like, well, we're the ones that protect you from bears, fucking wouldn't.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. A good chance of that,
yeah. Dude. I mean, I know I just minimized it, but like running into a bear is scary. Like you get adrenaline every single time,
mm-hmm. fight or flight too. Yes, you do. Don't know what you're,
you know,
do.
And it's like, it's like, yeah, it's so many guys are like big talk, but if you're face to face to with mm-hmm. a bear, it's like, oh, would you really though? Mm-hmm. Would you really go toe to toe with that bear for somebody else?
I've been face to face. I've been face to face with a bear twice in my life. And one up close and personal, I could smell its breath, mm-hmm. you know? And the second one was
scary as
in my house, and I had a 2-year-old.
What does
about
it smell like? Can you explain?
Musk.
Musky? Yeah.
It just smells like the dog's mouth. It's not any that different. Ooh. It's not really that different. It's dirty. It smells
dirtier.
Actually,
the dog's breath is nasty.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It smells dirtier. It just smells hot and like... animal
gamey.
Breath.
It's gamey.
Animal breath.
Sorry,
but no. So there was that instance where I ended up being shoved down the mountain, and that helped. That was great.
yeah. I'll save you.
I will tell that story.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'll tell that story one of these
Would
days.
Would they save you, really?
But, you know, the other instance was just me and my 1.5-year-old, 18-month-old daughter, shy of two. I don't think I've ever told that story,
did
I?
Told that? I think you've told that
story.
I hope so.
I think I did in Patreon. I did. Maybe. I don't know. You guys let me know. Have you heard this story? And if not...
it's a good story.
I'll tell it. I'll tell both bear stories. But I've been face-to-face with a bear. Mm-hmm. And both times, the time where the bear actually kind of pursued us... wasn't out of malicious behavior or aggression for that matter. It was out of curiosity. And it was the panic of the people around me, thankfully, because it could have ended very badly, that actually saved us, you know. And then the other one was there was no panic. There was panic inside of me. Of course, I was losing my shit because I was standing looking at this bear in my house. Yeah. And my daughter was standing in the doorway 10 feet from the bear, standing there, this little 2-year-old, cute little pigtails, with
little
a very curious
McNugget
look
right
on her face, mm-hmm. you know? And I looked at her, and I put my finger up to my lips like, shush, real slow.
And she's like, ah.
Well, she looked at me, and then she copied me. She put her finger over her lips. And so, and then I, you know, I'll tell the story later. Okay. At another time. But I've been face to face with bears, and I still choose bears.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I never know what to expect from any random male. I don't know what to expect. And I told this last week, and our listeners will understand why mm-hmm. Mike's life experiences have led me to choose the bear over men.
Yes. That's the problem. The pushback
I think
is coming
it goes
from
both
people
ways too.
That don't. Mm-hmm. A lot of men don't understand women's experiences. Because. Mm-hmm. Women universally in this whole little debate on the internet understand this. They're like, oh yeah, of course the bear.
Right.
Because it doesn't matter. They don't know who the man is, and the odds are higher that it could be one of those weirdos that they've experienced in their life. And I think the shock for men is just like, oh man, because we like to think it's like, well, we don't know sexual assault guys. We don't know dudes out there. Like mm-hmm. none of my circle's doing that. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, well... And I like to think that I don't. I'm pretty sure I don't have anybody in my direct circle that's like that. But
that's the challenge, though, is the sexual assault guys. Let's just say your experience as a man, you got a group, whatever, however large this group is of other males, you're milling about and you're doing your thing. Unless you're physically seeing your cohort mm-hmm. sexually assault somebody, you're not gonna know.
People don't just come up to each other and be like, man, I really forced myself here.
The women, though, are going to know because that likely is who he is going to sexually assault.
I think one of the best things you can do as a man, especially these days, is to fucking listen to the women in your life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the big thing.
Like I think I'd mentioned it last week even, but I was mm-hmm. like, I want to know what the women in my life are thinking and like the mm-hmm. shit that they've been through and how they see stuff, because I will never have that perspective unless I get it from them.
Right.
You know?
Huge.
Because like, and that goes for what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. It's like when you're just with the bros, mm-hmm. you don't know.
Mm-mm. Exactly.
And you probably never will.
But the women will know because they're the ones that are targeted.
Yeah. And you should listen, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. like, in the, there's caveats to all of this, right?
Exactly.
Like there's
nuance.
Like there are definitely men and women on both sides of the aisle that have had bad experiences that make them judge people too quickly and too harshly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where they're trying to dig up skeletons where there are none. Mm-hmm. So you have to exercise some discernment no matter what. But yeah, I mean, always err on the side of just listen to the women in your life that you care about.
Yeah.
Right.
Fellas, like that's right. My advice to you. That probably took me too long into my life to learn how important that really is. But
yeah, listen to them, take in what they have to say. Mm-hmm. It may not be gospel though, but consider it at least.
You don't have to do anything about it right mm-hmm. away either, but just take that perspective and then pay attention after that.
Yeah.
Well, one of the points that was made that was pretty prescient was that it was kind of a meme that was created from mm-hmm. this conversation where it's like, also the reason why bear is because if I said I was attacked by a bear, mm-hmm. you'd believe me.
That's exactly
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and that's...
Okay, I do have something to say about that.
Okay.
There are an exorbitant number of women who have been assaulted who have said something... and it was true, and their perpetrator was held accountable or not. But an exorbitant number of women who have experienced assault and were honest about it, and they really were assaulted,
mm-hmm.
okay? However, there is a collection of psychopathic women out there who use it as a form of manipulation,
mm-hmm.
and they lie, and they do it to control those around them, or they do it for attention seeking or whatever. And it's not true. Mm. Or they'll take a sexual experience that is regrettable for whatever reason, mm. and they twist it and turn it because of their psychopathic brains.
Because they're psychos, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So there is a number of females out there. I don't know what number. I don't know what the ratio is.
Men and women both have problems with psychos in right. their midst. Yeah.
Exactly. So they are out there, and they will lie about this stuff. But... there is the vast number of people who've experienced this, a large number. In fact, I'm just going to reach out there and say the ratio might be similar to good men versus the bad men. Okay, so mm-hmm. there's good women versus bad women.
Yeah, I would
there's
say so.
Women out there who have experienced these things who are honest about it.
For sure. Yeah.
You know, and they have experienced this assault.
Yeah. Well, there's also a large demographic, and some of this is just anecdotal based upon my life experience, but I think it's valid.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there is a very large demographic of people that have experienced some kind of sexual assault mm-hmm. but just never fucking talk about it.
Yeah.
Even right after it happens, like to authorities, to friends, to family, to mm-hmm. anybody, they're just like, well... that fucking happened, and I'm never going to say shit about it.
Especially when
that's
you're young.
That's exactly correct.
Yeah. That's why, yeah. It's a lot to be said there, a lot to unpack. So, bear. I think most men would also choose bear.
Well, yeah, I think so, too. Because like I was saying, there's a bit of that on both sides of the aisle, because like I'm... Like you pointed out, I'm a big, strong white male, and I can do whatever the fuck I want wherever I want.
I don't think I said it like that necessarily. Yeah, that is what I implied,
you know. But that's like so not fucking not fucking true. I mean, maybe I have a bit more license to do that. I'll grant you that. But still, like I get stressed out. Like I go for walks in my neighborhood here in Spokane, and I've had multiple instances.
Welcome to the jungle, baby.
Yeah, dude. I've had multiple instances where I'm like, you know, I'm walking over a bridge, like mm-hmm. on the sidewalk part, and I've got barricades here and a fucking railing separating me from a drop into the river there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's somebody walking towards me that I don't know.
Yeah.
Guy or girl.
Yeah.
And I'm like casually, you know, hand on my weapon in case some shit goes down, because mm-hmm. that's what I expect from people. I'm like, right. I hope I'm pleasantly surprised.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like... guy, girl, doesn't matter. I'm expecting
hope for the best.
To be attacked, and it stresses me out.
Yeah.
Like, yes. I'm walking around and I'm like just bopping, you know, ooh, nice river, listening to my audiobook, and I'm like, oh fuck, pause the book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's gonna go?
Yep.
Yeah, I almost never go with
am I about to have to fight? Am I gonna get attacked? Like, yeah. You know,
well, you know, that's really interesting, because that's why I don't wear earbuds for a lot of reasons. I will never, when I ran a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It was before wireless earbuds, when I was doing a lot of running.
Mm-hmm.
I would listen to my little iPod, what is it? I think it was called an iPod.
Yeah, yeah. iPod.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd listen to that, but I'd
it's
have...
It's been so long ago.
Right? I know. But I'd, you know, with my little arm strap yeah, when yeah. I was... Yeah. So, but I would listen.
The
but
strap
I'd,
on iPad, nice
I'd
shit.
Only have one earbud
yeah.
in.
Always one ear. Yeah. Never both ears.
Keep one out
that's
for
because guy, emergency guy, girl, emergency. Big or small. Never both mm-hmm. ears.
Yeah. yeah.
Never.
Nobody's safe from a psycho.
I don't do that. I'm one ear partially in, you know, so I can kind of hear it. But if I can't hear what's going on around me...
Yeah.
Nah, dude.
Earbuds coming out. I'm the same way. But I don't... I mean, I don't... I'm in the house and stuff. I don't wear earbuds. But when I ran, I did. So I could listen to music while I ran or when I was at the gym. But always one in so I could still hear what was going on
yeah,
around me.
That's intelligent behavior. That's what that is.
So the grand thesis is that we humans have a psycho problem.
We have a psycho problem.
And we don't know how to deal with it, really. We don't know how to identify it that great yet.
Well, we don't come with warning labels.
No, we sure don't.
And we should, you know.
if you can help figure that out.
Yeah.
Well,
it's a shitty way to have to go through life, but I think the wise path through life is just a baseline assumption that everybody's going to try to fuck with you.
Well, that's just it, you know, and it is a challenge to try and carry through as a young person with very little life experience. Mm-hmm. It is a challenge to face the world with the expectation you're going to get fucked over no matter what and still try and grow and enjoy your life.
Yeah.
And that's a very big challenge. I'm preaching to the choir, I know, mm-hmm. but what I'm doing is explaining me as a person. It's difficult to go through life expecting everyone to fuck you over and then, you know, still enjoy life.
Yeah.
And I got past that, which
life isn't
is great.
A sandbox when you're stressed or when you're worried.
No.
It's a, you know, prison and, sometimes.
Right. So, yeah, bear.
Agreed. And
yeah, I'm voting
that,
bear
like,
too. Like,
yeah.
I'm not sorry guys who are offended by that, but I'm not on your team, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going with bear, and I completely understand why anybody else would too.
Yeah. I thought immediately of like 10 different things from the Dipshit Files. It's like, of course the bear.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course the bear. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Ted Bundy makes it the bear.
Yes, because he was all sweet and nice. Like, he'll say nice things to your face and then eat your soul.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what the fuck, dude? Thanks
Green
for
River
ruining...
Killer, yeah.
Now men and women can't get along and we can't have nice civilizations anymore. Thanks a lot, dickheads.
Mainly Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy was the, you know, just ridiculous. He's the reason why I choose bear.
Yeah. I would shit, dude. I'll bring it down even lower than that extreme. I would have taken being mauled by a bear over living 3 years with the fucking sociopath saga.
Yeah.
Easy choice, dude.
Yes. Like,
oh, the sociopath.
But the answer isn't...
I'd have cool scars, at least, that people could see, and I'd have a story.
Yeah.
You know?
You could at least maybe have a little claw or something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like a nubbin.
But the answer to this isn't...
You could wear it on a chain around your neck.
We're not doing a bad job raising our boys. There might be some, and I'm not going to say all. There might be some people that are on the fence, but really, if you're out there assaulting women or men... You're a fucking psycho.
Yeah, yes. go fuck yourself.
And there's not, but you're right. But there's not much we can do to take that brain and make it be like, well, that was wrong. I didn't know that was wrong. They know it's wrong. They're just doing it. You know.
Well, that's a challenge.
They don't care.
You know, and it faces. We've faced this in the Dipshit Files. We've actually talked about it. How do you handle a personality disorder?
Right.
And that's it's not mental illness. It's a personality. Well, they're trying to say now. That a personality disorder is mental illness, which that's right.
I get worried about all the definitions people use.
Exactly.
That science is pretty weird.
Right.
So that gets scary. That's why I think that's why it's a good thing we got rid of Arkham Asylum. Because it's like,
right.
I don't like that guy. And we had enough people say he was a dumb asshole and he was crazy. And now he's in there for the rest of
That's terrible too. I'd take just like a blanket. Kill them over stick people in asylums. Personally,
it costs like $80,000 a year to throw somebody in jail.
Sounds shitty, but as I'm just thinking about being on the receiving end of it, like already having mental issues and then being stuck in a facility where you have to just be around a bunch of other mentally unstable people and be in most cases heavily medicated and who knows if the staff actually gives a shit about you or if they see you as subhuman, which has happened many, many times throughout history.
Well, that's why our...
Like, fuck all that. Just kill me. If I go psycho one day, just put me down.
Yeah. That's what I said. Point me towards the nearest cliff and give me a hug and say bye. Yeah.
I'm
and I'll wander.
Thanks for playing. We're sending your soul home now.
Yeah, exactly.
Respond me as a butterfly.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, well, That was an interesting dive, wasn't it?
That was
a very uplifting episode. So
yes.
We started right out with the
I feel very chipper and ready to tackle the rest of my night.
Good morning.
How are y'all doing, guys? How you doing? How you doing?
Well, okay, so let's choose your own adventure. Do you guys want to go? Should we lift it up with some brainy meats? And you've got one, and I've got a whole bunch this time. I've got some good ones. Or do you guys want to learn about economics?
And, you know, I have a third option.
Vaginas.
Why don't we do some dumb cunts and I'll talk about my butthole a little bit.
Oh, that's way better. Folks, you heard it. I'm voting butthole.
Butthole.
All right. There's no gore, no dismemberment, no bears even.
We'll talk about one of those other things I brought up in the bonus. But, all right, next segment. Dumb cunts. Doing dumb cunt things. Doing dumb cunt things. Cause we're all dumb cunts. Nothing ever makes sense. Cause we're all fucked up. Butthole time.
Butthole time. So this
yeah, you don't
is
have to talk about the pencil.
This is an offshoot of yesterday. My cohorts and I took a little journey over to Seattle to see one of my all time favorite bands. First time being over here.
Puddle of Mud, is that who it was?
Yep, definitely not Puddle of Mud. but they're from
Bryan Adams?
Sweden, and this was their first time ever being in this part of the world, so I got a chance to see them finally after following them for like over a decade. Mm-hmm. So,
Ace of Base.
Yep. Yep.
I know some Swedish bands. Come on.
That's Ace of Base isn't Swedish, aren't they Australian?
No, they're ABBA's like stepkids or something.
ABBA?
Yeah, ABBA.
Really? They're related to ABBA?
No, but they're Swedish. I'm pretty... I don't know.
He's shovelcocking so hard right now.
Where's my
shovel? It's over there.
Shovelcocking so
Sorry,
hard.
Go ahead, Shaden.
Somebody out there is screaming.
While you guys are... I'm going to find out where ABBA is from.
You take ABBA out of your mouth!
I know for sure ABBA is from Sweden, but I will look up where Ace of Base is.
I thought Ace of Base was Australian. I could be wrong, though.
Could be.
I don't
you guys
know.
Go ahead and speak amongst
Australia.
Yourselves.
Yeah. Well, if you must know, the band is called Imminence. Yes. Nobody knows.
Imminence.
Nobody knows who the fuck they are unless they do.
With an I or an E.
Yeah. I.
I.
Yeah. You're like, not, yeah, whatever
not,
you want.
Not like eminent domain. Like, it's imminently approaching.
Okay.
Yeah. They're very, very good. If you like, I don't know. As a brief aside, if I can gush on this band just a little bit. I feel like I watched them grow up. Because I saw that, like, I got turned on to them from a video of them playing it. I don't know where it was, but it was somewhere in Sweden. Mm-hmm. Looked like the corner of a coffee shop. Like, there's fucking magazine rack on the wall next to the drummer.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like, yeah. I love those gigs.
Yeah. Right. And I was like, and that was part of what made me. Yeah, man. That was part of
Can
what made
turn
me watch
it down
the whole
a little?
Thing. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. That was part of what made me watch the whole thing because I resonated with it so much. I was like, God, I've been there.
Yeah.
You know, but, and like the lead singer, like they've always had soul. Like they, like it's just like, oh, there's really some substance in this, in this band and their music. But like the lead singer was pitchy. His screams were not really super refined. Mm-hmm. And like the musicality was there, but it was just like,
it was still rough.
It was a diamond in the rough.
The singer's instrument is a fucking capricious thing.
It is. But I was like drawn to it and I was like, oh shit. So like I followed them and their early stuff was like really unnecessarily heavy.
Nice.
And like, but like, and it was like, it had its moments where you're like, oh yeah, fuck yeah. And then you're like, whoa, too much.
Yeah.
You know,
that's where I like to sit.
Yeah.
In my metal.
Yep.
But, all right. That sounded like a pig getting killed. All right.
But then they like started to refine and mature over the years. Mm-hmm. And then they had like their soft reimaginings phase where they like took a bunch of their really heavy songs and like did very cool orchestral big open like pretty, you know, versions of them, which I was so there for.
That was transition on display.
Yeah.
And then
they settled into a beautiful blend of the two, because the lead singer, he sings, he screams, and he plays violin.
Like, oh,
that's what the front man
does.
That's
rare as fuck.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
shit.
And so now they've settled into like this progressive metal with like really cool melodic interludes and shit in it. Hmm. And
how do they do the violins over metal? Is it distorted violin?
No distorted violin. It's clean violin, clean, and they lay it over very technical riffs, and then they give it room to breathe and, you know, stand forward in the mix.
You have to be amazing at violin to do electric violin while I
he does acoustic violin too.
Wow.
In the middle of a prog metal band.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's great.
That's rad. Yeah, I have pictures I'll show you guys. But yeah, they're a very cool band, and the way that they've matured, they're super theatrical too. Like, I saw them at the Neptune Theater, which I'd never been to. I fucking love that venue.
Yeah.
Like, if you're from Spokane area, it's like the Bing and the Knit had a baby, and it's all the good things of both with none of the bad. Like,
really?
It's just, it's such a cool fucking room. I was like, God, I want to play here so bad. I want to live here. It's over in the University District.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah. Like Fremont area?
I don't
Close to Fremont?
Know. I don't know. I don't know Seattle well enough to know. Like, it's like, you know, if you're on I-90 and it's like, oh, this is downtown where you turn to go to Pike Place.
Yeah.
So don't get off there. Keep going. Go over the bridge. And then there's that University District there. It's in there. It's like nestled right in there.
Oh, it's over by Queen Anne Hill area.
Probably.
Then, just past that.
I used to talk about what shows they'd have there when I was doing Dave Mangus for Seattle.
Yeah. It's a super cool venue.
Yeah.
I love it.
I want to play there too.
Yeah.
It's on my list.
It's really, really awesome.
Ooh,
and
should we reach out?
They did great with sound. They did great with the sound there too. Yeah. Like, everything was just good. Like, the alcohol was like show prices, but it wasn't like, oh my God, what are you doing? Like, don't rob me. How dare you?
It was show prices, baseball. Not baseball prices.
Yeah.
Okay, so,
by the way, real quick, ABBA, Swedish.
Yes.
Ace of Base, want to take a guess? Swedish.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Goddamn.
I was wrong.
Take my shovelcock and touch it.
And now we know.
Well done, honey. Well done.
Happy to know there's some random facts that will be useless to you later.
I uncock you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
I have a question, but I have to also have to sneeze.
Okay. Well, do one or the other. We'll wait. All right. Nice. Led with the sneeze. Good. Get it out of the way.
So we need to edit that.
Do we, though?
Do we, though? I gave you commentary. It was loving commentary.
Why are you wiping that off?
I don't know.
Over off no, the other
it was
side of the room.
It was unrelated. There was a smudge.
Yeah, but wasn't my snot or
no,
spit?
No, it wasn't. I just
highly offended by that shit.
It's unrelated. I
sneezed in the opposite direction of this
I'm
thing.
I'm being OCD. Leave my tism alone. Chaos reigns.
I have a question about the Neptune.
Okay.
What size is the room?
It is...
It's like 1,500? 1,800?
Is it? It's probably pretty similar to the Bing. Maybe a little smaller.
Oh.
And you're not talking building and lobby and all that. You're talking
like the main auditorium theater.
That's not very big at all.
No, it's...
750.
It's small. Smaller than the Knit, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. But comparing it to the Bing... It's probably pretty close to the Bing, but like no seats or anything, right? Like it's all just open, but it has a balcony. Same,
it's older.
The
balcony and
an older building. That's the vibe I got. I saw inside it.
Well, yeah, it's older, dude. Yeah, yeah, for sure. They still have a basement shop like below the theater, and it's still painted
the
on the wall, still open. Yep, put your bodies here. No, it says CDs, tapes, and vinyl buy, sell, trade.
Wow.
And it's still open under there. You can go down there. So
oh
it's like,
my
yeah,
gosh.
So it's an older building.
That's so
cool.
There's a whole lot of reasons to love Seattle, and that's definitely one of them.
Yep.
It's all the cool record stores and little shops
that
have been
the music
for
scene in general. I mean, tough to make it, you know, make anything of yourself.
You don't get on the stage very easy in Seattle.
Yeah.
Huh.
But if you do get to play there, just hang out and go see a show there, it's usually dope.
Well, we need to get to booking then, because that sounds rad.
Oh, it was great. It's like, so Sovereign playing in there would be just chef kiss, match made in heaven.
Have to do it.
Very our vibe.
So back to the butt.
Anyway, back to my butthole.
Back to the butt.
So that was the reason for the trip, was to go there, right?
Because of your butt?
Yeah.
Ace of Base.
No, for the concert.
Okay,
Also my butt. But, but we stayed with friends in Auburn, and our buddy, Motor, is his nickname. He's a good cook. Yep.
That was like price for flight.
Synchronized.
Sorry.
Nice.
Sorry.
I'm impressed. So, our buddy Motor, don't do it. Don't do it. We're gonna be stuck in a loop here if you guys don't get your shit together.
I heard Motor and went Motorhead.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah. So he's a good cook, and he's a big fan of spicy food, being the Mexican that he is.
Mm-hmm.
and he's got a bunch of different hot sauces, which I love, per our conversation about me loving spicy food, right? Mm-hmm. He had, if you've ever seen the show Hot Ones, mm-hmm. right? I know you guys are familiar, but it's like celebrity interviews, but while the interview is being conducted, they eat 10 increasingly spicy hot wings, and it's hilarious. And I love it.
Dying by six or seven.
So those guys, they developed their own pepper called Pepper X, mm-hmm. and it's purportedly now the hottest pepper on the planet, as far as Scoville level goes.
Wow.
And so that's their sauce they put on the 10th wing.
Here's bear mace in a taco.
Is like Pepper X sauce, but it somehow still manages to have very good flavor, is what everybody on the show says. So like, wow, that's really hot, but it tastes good.
So
I've always been intrigued by it, right? Because it's supposed to be the hottest one on the table, but everybody's like, it still tastes good, you know?
Okay.
So I'm like, okay. So our buddy had a bottle of that.
Oh,
that he ordered from the shop, from the Hot Ones, the Hedonist shop.
And you sat on it.
And I was like, oh.
Just picturing it. I'm trying to get ahead of
like, I had tried it once before, like just a little finger dab of it. And I was like, actually, that is really good. It is spicy as fuck, but it's really good. But I just had like a little finger dab, right? So this time, we're having fajitas. And I went with some Carolina Reaper sauce that he had, which mm-hmm. I liked. And I kind of doused that with a pretty healthy amount on my first one. Mm-hmm. And I was sweating my way through it, but I was like, all right, I'm here for it. It still mm-hmm. tastes good. And I'm liking this. So I go outside for a minute and I come back in and they're like, we're having seconds. Everybody's all loaded up again. And I'm like, all right, sign me up. And they're like, here you go. Already pre-made, ready to rock. And I'm like, red flag.
But,
and then another one of them's like, here, you want a lime? It's already cut. And I was like, okay, I see where this is
you're
going.
You're trying to kill a guy.
Flag number
and I'm
two.
Like, I'm like, well, I'm not backing down from you bitches. Like, let's, you know. So I squeezed that lime on there and started going to town. And then I was like, oh, I see what you did. Mm-hmm. They fucking gave a big old dollop of that Pepper X sauce mm-hmm. into my fajita. And, not to be...
Was anyone else eating it, or are they just torturing you?
Well, so Bree was with us, mm-hmm. and Bree did it voluntarily. She mixed the Reaper and the Pepper Egg sauce, and she tanked it. Like, she was like, you know, like, mm-hmm. snot coming out, and like, oh, ah. But, I mean, Bree's no slouch when it comes to spice.
Okay.
So.
Nice.
So,
I've never seen her eat spice.
I've never seen her eat spice either.
Oh, yeah, no, she does spice. She's a Buffalo gal. She knows how to spice it up. But yeah, she did good. But I plowed my way through it, ate the whole thing.
Okay.
And it was spicy as fuck. But mm-hmm. like, and then we were all joking. This is before we went to the concert, FYI.
Oh boy, this is like, going to get interesting.
It. Like an hour before That's we cool. went to oh, the concert.
Planning, the planning on this. Fajitas yep. with the super spice before yep. we go see Ace of Base.
I love this.
Yep. And so jokes are.
I saw the sun. It opened up my brown eyes.
So jokes are being made already at this point. Like, oh yeah, you're going to be fucking shitting fire and blah, blah, blah.
Nah.
And I was like, yeah, probably. But like before we even left, I was like, I kind of actually have to shit now.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to shit and it was already spicy. Like within 10 minutes, I was already shitting spice.
Your butt started crying?
Yeah. I mean, my butthole was crying after I was trying.
Oh boy.
Yep.
So like,
so this
raw
is like,
kind of vibe? Like,
yeah. So my brother... was the main perpetrator of this, mm-hmm. I discovered, and I think he was just acting on all your guys' behalf. Anybody who was like, oh wow, your butthole ain't crying, you ain't trying, fuck you.
yeah,
he brought about my karma for you guys, so you can thank him for that.
Live it.
But yeah, it was already spicy, and then like I was like, okay, get that out of the way before we go. And like, mm-hmm. I don't want to mess with the show. And then like the whole drive into downtown Seattle, I'm just like, hey guys, I have to shit. I can feel this stuff working its way through my bowels. So like we got there, got parked, got in, and I was like, go in the bathroom.
Oh, that sucks. Like, so, I just got to this nice concert venue. I'm going to go poop in it.
Hopefully it had a full wall in the stall.
It did. Yeah. It was a great
Thank
stall.
Thank you, Neptune.
It was like ankles to ceiling. It was
nice.
Good stuff.
Much
yeah.
better.
Spoiled. Yep. Fucking spoiled.
Yep. There was also, side note, a guy that
you didn't
was,
have the deck view into your fucking
yeah,
stall.
Right? There was a guy in the stall, and I went into the stall next to him. He was already in there when I got in there. Mm-hmm. I was in there for... not a short amount of time.
Oh, okay.
And he was just sitting in there, and you could kind of hear the show, like the opener playing mm-hmm. Through the walls. And he's sitting there doing like a perfect double kick pattern on the floor in the stall. He's just sitting in there.
Helps me shit.
And I was like, oh, okay, he's rocking out even though he's shitting. Mm-hmm. When I left, he was still in there. He was still going. He's just having his own concert.
he's actually the drummer for the Ace of Base band. That
like, right, yeah. The Ace of Base.
He's just in there warming up. He's like, "That's how I like the smell."
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, thankfully, by the time my band was up, I think I got it all out of my system, and I was able to enjoy the show. But yeah, even this morning, woke up to another. Another spicy BM.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah, that'll teach me to open my dumb mouth on a podcast and talk about my spice tolerance. But I did it. God damn it. I did it.
You suffered the consequences. Your butthole cried. But you did it.
I got one big fat last dab and I tanked it. And I did pay a bit of a price, but I'm here to tell the tale.
Nice.
Would you do it again? Would you eat that spice again?
Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah. It was really good. Okay. But it lit me up. It was funny. I got red by the time I finished it, and it stopped like at the level of the top of my ears. So it was just like...
It was a line across your face.
It was like a temperature line. It's like a little hotter, like, and he's going to the
little more,
hospital.
And you're going to the emergency room.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You look like a thermometer then. Yep. Like a cartoon thermometer person.
Yep. Yep. Sure did.
Well, more butthole stories from the poobah. Thank you. Keep them coming, brother.
Yes.
I'll just keep doing irresponsible things with my butthole, I guess.
Paisley has his airport stories, and
Shaden has his butt stories.
You got some good butt stories, buddy. All right. Well, you guys want to do the last segment or so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Now let's do something constructive for our brainy meats. It's time for thinky things.
All right. Brainy meats. You guys ready?
Brainy meats.
I've got a fuckload. You've got one. I can't
wait
to hear
that.
I
have one singular slice of meat.
When you bring one...
singular slice of meat.
When you bring one meat to the party where there's food, it's got to be really good meat.
I shit all the rest of my meat out.
I'm excited. I'm just saying, it's quality, not quantity. I got a shitload. I don't even know half their names. All right, you guys ready for some of this crap?
Let's go.
Yes.
Wise.
So this is just stoic wisdom. And by the way, every time that it's the person is not known, I think as a jar thing, we should just attribute it to Sergeant Stubby or you. But I'm going to go Sergeant Stubby.
Okay, fine. Sergeant Stubby can have it. He outranks me.
Stubbyism.
He outranks me.
Stubbyism.
Stubbyism's a coming. Here's a stoic Stubbyism.
Okay.
Quote, "Your job is to do the work, and in doing the work, pay no heed to either the cynics or the critics. Just focus on bringing your best," end quote.
I mean, I could see Sergeant Stubby saying that.
I can too, with his little paw fucking up there, saluting.
Do your best. Good fucking job. It's your job.
I saw a picture of Sergeant Stubby.
Yes.
And he looks different than I thought.
His card. Yeah. Have you seen his card? I got a hollow version.
Yeah, I saw. That's how I saw it, was his card.
He's different than I thought, too.
I thought he was a Drachnol.
I know.
No, he's cute.
I thought he was a Jack Russell
which is the cutest of all dogs.
He is adorable. He's a Benji.
Yeah, he's cute.
He's not but a Benji. He's like a Boston Terrier.
Let me see him.
Get that card.
Because I was thinking of a Drachnol. So when I heard of Sergeant Stubby, I thought of Drachnol, which made me think of Stinky Breath.
This is the Star Sparkle Scatverse Legend Sergeant Stubby.
Let me see.
You got to look through the Star Sparkle holograms.
Oh,
yes, he is.
Look at him. What was he?
He's the best boy.
He's
I don't remember.
Boston Terrier.
He looks like a...
Some kind of terrier.
He looks like a pit bull.
What?
Boston Terrier. He's a mix. He's adorable.
He looks like a good boy.
He's a good boy. Anyway, sorry. I didn't mean to totally segue or, deviate.
This is a PSA 10.
That's adorable. By the way, I love that card.
Isn't that cool?
And that's a one-off, isn't it?
Yeah, there's only going to be a few of these different holograms.
Star Sparkle. Sparkle in.
Wow. There's fractured ice. We're going nuts. I went nuts. I'm a nutball.
Rad.
He's pretty cute. But anyway, somebody will get that.
Okay,
I guess he does
kind
of look like a pit bull.
He does.
Yeah. Anywho. All right, next one.
Okay.
George Bernard Shaw. Quote, "Two things define you. Your patience when you have nothing and your attitude when you have everything." End quote.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
That one made me.
That
think.
One's good.
I was sitting there pooping, going.
That calls for a round of
and a little head nod. Mm-hmm. Yep.
George Bernard Shaw
with a slow blink and the raise of the eyebrows.
A little twist of the mustache. Quiet.
It's hard to summon patience when you need it.
It's
easy to be patient when you don't need it. When you're like, oh, those kids, oh, I just love them so. But when you really need patience,
when you really need, I have to agree with you. I fail that test sometimes, and. I regret it afterwards. But I think
Lady Scriptkeeper has an abundance of patience because she spends most of her time around me. You.
I truly believe that.
You were put on this earth to teach people patience, my friend.
Oh, my heart. But I can't deny that you're right. It's absolutely got to be true.
It takes one to know one. I'm not
just, I was just going to say, you two make a pair.
Yeah, pot, kettle, I know.
I'm too busy feeling the sling of your arrow to fight back at. I was like, wait a minute, sure. Wait a guy.
All right, boys.
See? Right. Patience.
This one. Inazo Nitobe. I've never heard this name before. Hmm. Inazo Nitobe. Quote, the spiritual aspect of valor is evidenced by composure, calm presence of mind. Tranquility is courage in repose. End quote.
Was that a haiku?
It's beautiful.
That's some samurai shit.
Okay, one more time, like, please.
Sure.
Because that...
No, it's something
I don't want
about.
That to sink in a little deeper. Let me, right, let me hear
that
again.
I'll go slower, too, though. The spiritual aspect of valor is evidenced by composure, calm presence of mind. Tranquility is courage in repose.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I found some good ones.
Mm-hmm. I kind of want that like on a fucking plaque
tapestry?
For to put it on a wall.
Or see it on a tapestry.
That's a beautiful one.
I kind of want that as a tramp stamp. That's good. Just
I want it on a coffee mug. You want it on your body, Shaden? You want people to have sex with you and read that
patience,
shit?
Patience.
There's something about valor on your back, dude. What's going on there? All right. Alan Watts. Always fun.
Oh, I love Alan Watts. Yeah.
Quote, a person who thinks all the time has nothing to think about except thoughts, so he loses touch with reality and lives in a world of illusion. End quote.
Yep, spoken
bold,
like a bold true
statement
overthinker.
For a philosopher. To
he went out in the woods and played with
spoken
mushrooms.
Spoken like a true overthinker. I relate to that man.
Yeah, that's true though. That's
mm-hmm.
true though.
It is
that
true.
Was I read a whole. It wasn't a whole book, but it was several chapters of a book I read that was dedicated to how far. Thinking and reading about a thing will actually get you
mm-hmm.
versus actually going forth and experiencing
right.
said thing, and it is not as far as you think.
Right.
Like you mm-hmm. could think something to death, but once you arrive at the
experience,
moment where you need
right.
to apply it,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
get fucked.
Yep. That's why a lot of people when they think about science, they're like, oh, I can understand the science and da-da-da. It's like most of the sciences that we're talking about, you have to be in the lab.
Mm-hmm.
All of the learning and the understanding is like
you can
in the lab.
You can understand yeah. the words being used mm-hmm. to explain it, but you will not understand the concept unless you're submerged in it.
It really
yeah.
is.
Yeah. You have to be the rat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Despite all your rage.
Yeah.
I'm still just a rat in a cage.
It just has to happen. You know, Billy Corgan, look what you've done to the world, buddy.
Uh-huh.
So this is Johannes Kepler. I hope that's how you say it. Johannes.
I thought it was Johann.
Johann? That's mm-hmm. not fucking.
Johannes.
Johannes?
No, it's Johann. Isn't
yeah.
it?
Crap.
Yeah, it's
J-O-H-A-N-N-E-S. That's
yeah.
a nice way to spell John.
It's Johann.
It's John Kepler.
Oh, Johnny boy.
Johnny boy.
Johann Kepler. Go
quote,
ahead.
I prefer the sharpest criticism of a single intelligent man to the thoughtless approval of the masses. End
yes.
quote.
A little sexist, but I
love
see you.
That.
Fair. you could put human. If you
I don't think he was intending things with penises. I think he was speaking just generally.
No, back in the day, he was
I
only talking
know.
To penises. It was only penises. The audience was pure sausage.
I'd love to give him the benefit of the doubt, but...
pure sausage.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree with that one. Like, I'd rather a... constructive criticism, or even just a criticism that's valid... Then just everybody being like, yeah, you're doing great, bro. Everything's gonna be all right. You're doing good. It's like, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice to hear, but it doesn't really do a lot for me.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. it was Mark Twain or maybe Einstein who was like, if you're walking at the same path as the masses, you mm-hmm. should stop.
Yeah, stop
turning around
what you're doing.
Immediately.
Right.
Kind of thing. Yeah. It's like, this is probably wrong. And why are we like that? It's pretty weird.
Yeah. Lemmings, something about lemmings.
Oh, but lemmings aren't even that bad. They didn't jump off cliffs. That was Disney throwing them off the cliffs. That's the fucking truth. All right, William
sheep
Faulkner.
Or something. You know.
Yeah.
Cattle in fear.
I think we are kind of cattle for sure. I feel cattle-like all the time. I bet I taste like a steak. I bet I taste like a pig.
If you have 50 cows long in an pig. Area, close area, and one of them gets spooked by a sound... or a snake or something.
They vote for some
all
snake.
Of them.
Everybody get the fuck out of here. What? I don't know. Gary's running and so are we.
Stampede.
Can I be a sea lion instead? They're fun.
How about it? When you respawn, put in a good word for the fucking sea lion.
Oh, that'd be great with your flipper up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or just waving.
Gotta get my armpits some sun.
Yep.
Fucking walrus BO everywhere.
Your little back flippers just kind of flopping, yep. Flopping on the.
I wonder if they have BO. They must have BO.
They do. Yeah, they stink.
They stink like the ocean though. But I wonder if they got like armpit like. Natural.
Well, they're like furry, man. They smell like they smell like
they're musky,
stinky,
musky,
wet dogs,
musky,
wet sea puppies.
Fishy. Yeah, yikes. They stink.
They're for people. If you want it as a pet. You're like, yeah. I like wet dog smell all the time.
Yeah, I was trapped
wet
in a
dog smell incense
truck with one. Not trapped in a truck, but I was part of a rescue society, marine mammal rescue society.
Do I even
society.
Know you? I barely know you. Were you Batman in a former life? My wife was Zorro.
It was at Humboldt, and I was part of the marine mammal rescue society, and we were alerted and we had to go rescue it, but it was a sea lion that had been shot with a gun.
God damn, how many lives have you lived? Goodness Christ.
So we had to basically get this thing, this angry damaged sea lion into a transport cage, get it into the back of a truck and take it down. We had to go this is in Arcata, California, in Humboldt. And we had to go all the way past Eureka.
Hippie town.
I think we had to drive really far. Anyways, it was like a 2.5 hour drive. And it smelled awful. Mm. But we just basically kind
like
of...
Like the dump on fire.
It was absolutely mud. Terrible. So basically, we had to stop every once in a while and kind of wet him down and make sure that... But we had to hurry, too, because he had a gunshot wound. But yeah, smell was awful.
Damn it. That's one thing I don't know the taste of is walrus. You know how you can taste, you know, I know the taste of carpet or sea puppy. I don't know the, did you taste, did
I
you
didn't
put your
lick
mouth on
the
it?
Sea lion. No, I didn't.
You missed opportunity.
I did not
disappointing.
Lick the
I had
sea
higher
lion.
Hopes for you than that. Yeah. He could have passed on information to the tribe. You refused.
Didn't you know reason. Zach was conducting a case study?
My whole life is just one dumb case study and dumb. So
I did learn also working in California and in the animal conservation
that they don't
park.
Give a fuck about
no,
their freeways.
I learned that a walrus's okay this is gonna
about
go
his dick yeah
it's gonna go sideways because I'm talking to you too
yeah dick stuff
but no it's not a dick so I did learn
you can make a dick stuff don't worry
yeah, and I learned this. By being scolded because we had walrus pups they were really young they were still being bottle fed and
do they have little nubbins for their tusks
I don't remember I don't maybe
in
I
my
don't
imagination
remember.
They have just these little
I don't think so
not little baby carrot ones just yeah. little
I don't
just little tiny just peeking
know.
Out
I don't know I don't think so but I do know I got to feed one a bottle now it latches on like a newborn human baby it seeks this nipple out and it will latch on
bites it off
now I was warned do not get your hands near his mouth their suck is so strong, it will literally suck your finger from your hand and you won't have a finger.
Damn.
Okay.
Well, we know how this story ends.
Now, I...
There you
I,
go. Dicks. Nailed it.
Yeah. I thought it was a little over the top, right?
That was kind of a softball for Dicks, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Was.
You were like,
yeah.
fuck, I
so
gotta hit
I
that.
Thought, I thought that was a bit excessive in an explanation.
Did you not know that was going to be
I found out
good.
A
so
few days later that they when they were repairing the floating deck... Because there was this, like this little floating dock deck that they made for these walrus pups. Mm. And I came in for feeding and we were also doing marine mammal communication studies. And so I came in for this feeding and they were like fixing up this floating dock deck thing. And I'm like, what happened? And they said, oh, yeah, the screws weren't secured enough and the baby sucked them out of the deck. They literally sucked
suck the screw out
the
of
screw,
a harbor deck.
One or two of them. They sucked the screw clean out
Whoa.
Of the wood.
Tight.
So they had
it's
to
like
repair
a superpower.
It. Isn't that
is.
Crazy?
That's wild.
So that's a little bit of a tidbit of walrus knowledge.
Know.
Be an excellent skill to have in prison.
No shit. Like,
no.
okay, fine, buddy.
Yeah,
I'll get self-preservation.
I know. All body parts that entered into the vacuum area would just disappear.
It's like the trash goat. Down
yeah,
down.
The suction goat.
So,
don't put your dick
gone.
In it either.
I've warned a lot of people not to put their dick
yeah,
in
Yeah, don't
goat.
Do it.
So now
Go
you
ahead.
Know.
It's fine.
little bit tidbit of info. Okay, back to Brainy Meats. So sorry.
No, that's awesome. That was that's what Brainy Meats is about.
Yeah, you I can think. Always trust us to take philosophy and make it dumb as shit.
Had nothing to do with what we were talking about. We were talking about walrus dicks for a minute there. No. Okay.
I'm glad I know that about walruses. That's wild.
It's a very interesting little tidbit of information. Then they're so
fucking
cute.
They could suck off a nose tip, like, no problem.
Oh, in a heartbeat.
Wow. No, they're one of your new favorite
that's
animals.
That's my spirit animal, yeah. Dude.
Gonna have the tattooed somewhere.
They're so cute, too.
I hope they have nubbins where their tusks are coming
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Little boopers.
Yep. Cool.
All right. William Faulkner. We're gonna bring him to the okay. conversation.
Yeah, Falk it.
Then it's about swimming, kind of.
Oh.
Fun how this stuff works. Mm. Quote, "You cannot swim for new horizons until you have courage to lose sight of the shore," end quote.
Yeah,
I've yes, heard that one. Absolutely.
That is tight.
Not smart in the ocean, though, just saying.
No, yeah, you want to fucking stay near the shore. Yeah.
If you can't see the shore and you're in the ocean and the tide decides to go the other way, bye.
There's nothing scarier to me on the earth than nighttime in the middle of the ocean, just that darkness and the sound of the wind in the waves and just knowing that things live under there that are...
I kind of love it.
God damn it, Shade.
Well, I'm serious.
What are they doing in Canada? What does maple syrup do to the blood? I'm going to study that.
Build a fire on the beach and just
blood.
Sit and listen to the invisible ocean.
Yeah, but you're on the
beach. On the beach is rad.
Yeah.
It's yeah. beautiful.
He's talking about being
talking
on a boat in the middle of nowhere.
I'm talking falling off a boat.
Oh. Oh.
I just listened to a guy saying, like, there's a 0% chance that
oh,
you
yeah,
live
fuck
if you
that.
Fall off of one of those cruise ships. A 0% chance. Yep. It takes a fucking mile for them to even turn around if they can find you, if you stay in the same place.
That's like if you manage to fall far enough away that you don't get sucked into the propeller.
The blades. Yeah. Fuck.
Which is very slim chance.
Yeah, and they're Volkswagen size. That'll be fun.
Yep.
That'll be fun. You're not living.
Well, it'll so anyway. Be quick.
But if you do live, they're
that's
trying to find you
in the dark. If you survive
and
how far you fall when you hit the water. Yep. So, I mean...
You have to be an amazing swimmer to get clear of a cruise ship, apparently.
Yeah, well, the suction. It'll just pull you in.
By the way, the water's like 50 degrees and you're immediately getting to 50.
50 is
not
pretty
even
warm.
That. Yeah. These are like...
No,
I'm like, that's
that'll
California
that'll
in
give
the winter.
You, that'll give you hypothermia, though.
Yeah. In like 4 minutes or so. I don't remember the numbers, but... Anywho. So, Edward R. Murrow. Quote, "Everyone is a prisoner of his own experiences. No one can eliminate prejudices. Just recognize them," end quote.
Good one.
It's an interesting one. Hmm.
Read that again.
It's true. Recognize
I'm sorry.
Them.
One more
recognize
time.
Them and then work to become better in spite of them.
Yeah. And the word prejudice can mean a lot of different things in this thing. Just your
sure.
belief
like
system.
Like, I hate apple juice.
Yeah. You can learn to recognize that and figure it out, dude. They're delicious.
All right. You're
it's
right.
delicious.
You're right.
Quote, "Everyone is a prisoner of his own experiences. No one can eliminate prejudices. Just recognize them." Because you...
Okay.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah, it totally makes sense.
All right, next one. Seneca. Quote, "It's better to conquer grief than to deceive it." End quote.
Yep. 100%. Mm-hmm.
Face your shit.
Yep.
Yeah. Look
Stokes
it,
are always like...
Look it in the eye. Don't lie. Don't try to lie about it or to it.
Pull the motherfucking...
Yeah.
All right, here we go. I love this quote. I found some good ones. I think I found a little treasure trove this week. This is Samuel Butler. Quote, "Life is like playing a violin solo in public and learning the instrument as one goes."
Right.
Fuck. Fuck.
Messy as fuck,
that
but interesting as hell.
That one hit me. Isn't it right, though?
I
People
love
are like,
that.
"You suck!" And you're like, "I know!
Why are you doing it like that?
I'm trying.
Nobody taught me!
I don't know what I'm doing! Just be patient!
I don't know how to behave!
Why is this so terrible? I want to hide!
My fingers
I
hurt.
I hate my life!"
All that. Every bit of that.
Yeah, what is this thing? Why is the hair? Why are the hairs falling apart?
Will you pay me?
Please. Is it good enough yet so I can sustain life?
I need
life?
To eat too. Have mercy.
Don't lie to me. I know I suck.
All right. Just a couple more.
I got a college degree in stringing it. I just don't know how to play it.
No shit. Nice.
Okay. Oh, shit.
I can tune it like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Here, this one's another George Bernard Shaw. Quote. I have to say quote and end quote like a freak.
Quote.
"Those who cannot change their minds cannot change anything." End quote.
Mm-hmm.
That George Bernard Shaw brings
are you
out the.
Being, are you making fun of?
No, I believe. Yeah. This one's really good. This is Margaret.
No, is that about
I
believe. Me? Is yeah. that about me?
It might be. This is Margaret Atwood. Quote, "War is what happens when language fails."
Oh, yeah, yes. I know that one too.
Uh huh.
There's a problem when we stop talking to each other yep. and start. When we stop trading and agreeing with each other.
Right.
Or at least trying to agree to disagree. This one's from Bernard Russell or Bertrand Russell. And this is kind of a longer one.
We'll Bertrand?
Bertrand Russell. And we'll end with this one. It's from his unpopular essays written in 1950. The outline of intellectual rubbish. Page 81.
Rubbish.
If anyone would like to look at it.
Pure drivel.
Quote, "Every powerful emotion has its own myth-making tendency. When the emotion is peculiar to an individual, he is considered more or less mad if he gives credence to such myths as he has invented. But when an emotion is collective, as in war or disease, there are few to correct the myths that naturally arise. Consequently, in all times of great collective excitement, unfounded rumors obtain wide credence. Since these myths lack evidence, this myth-making faculty is often allied with cruelty and anger. Such myths give an excuse for the infliction of pain, and the unfounded belief in them is evidence of the unconscious desire to find some victim to persecute." End quote.
That's not a quote.
No, it's more of a...
That's a fucking statement.
That's half the page.
That's a statement.
Let me summarize. Care if what you think is true.
Yeah. That's a good way to do it. That's a good thing. Well, and last one, short one. C.S. Lewis, a great Christian apologist. Quote, "One of the most cowardly things ordinary people do is to shut their eyes to the facts." End quote. And they shovel cock their damn way through life. Don't do it. All right.
Thank you for that.
That was a bunch of fun stuff. Thanks for hanging out and listening to some bullshit.
Yeah.
You guys want to end the show?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Let's go.
Now it's time to end the show, but we'll be back sometime in the future, yo.
Wait, what the fuck am I doing here?
Wrong studio, Dad.
Who the fuck are these folks?
Wrong studio, Dad.
None of you touch my beans.
All right, fucking A, guys. Thank you for hanging out. Mm-hmm. Once again, another Friday. Well, Thursday for us.
Friday.
But Friday is well spent for me. Thank you for being here. Appreciate
See, I stopped myself.
Thank you. That was
you kind of choked on it.
Yeah.
Self control.
I could tell. I could tell it hurt you a little bit to cram that back in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
Proud of you.
I did. I know that Leo guy. Push it down.
That Leo guy, whatever's that does all the metal covers. He must have done Friday, or somebody's done Friday. I'm gonna look it up after this. I want to hear a breakdown and fucking fun. Somebody's got to have done that.
Frog Leap Studios.
Yeah, exactly. Frog Leap Studios.
Oh, Leo yes. Miracchioli or whatever. I can never... Nobody knows how to pronounce
some of the greatest musicians
name.
Right now are unpronounceable as far as my dumb American brain is. Like the drummer that's just destroying all the drummer's confidence in the world by playing every song with like his pinky toe. Yeah. Have you seen that guy?
Is that the guy that plays Italian. On a keg or a trash can?
No. That was awesome, wasn't it?
He's got an excellent beard.
Excellent beard. Yeah, I know one of the best in the world. But oh my God... Drummers are becoming famous by being in the picture, watching him going, holy fuck, just doing what we do with Brainy Meat, like, wow.
Yeah.
You see that? They're literally not saying anything. They're just making facial expressions like, good, huh?
Yep.
And that guy's like the drummer of like Cream or some whatever.
Cream.
I love that, Dan. That's a tribute to my father's generation. Great time.
A little Eric Clapton.
I don't think he plays with Clapton.
No. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. We appreciate all you jargoneers, all the people on Facebook with Ho-J and all the cool folk.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate you.
All the great kids.
The Shitbox. Thank you to the Trusted Turd Triad, our Trusted Turd Herders, all the meme folk. There's so many.
Thanks for
people.
Herding the turd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks to the Litter Box and all of our patrons. We appreciate the shit out of y'all.
Mm-hmm.
It's been an awesome few months of growth. We appreciate the shit out of that. This is the end of the week for us, except for we got one show left.
Yes.
What are we playing this week on BBC?
You want the little sneaky preview?
Yeah.
Are we loud?
We are playing Enter the Gungeon.
Ooh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I don't know anything about it.
Me? I've never heard of it.
It was my first time playing it. I had heard of it, but never played it.
Uh-huh.
Will had played it, but only for like a handful of hours. So like he was still pretty like he knew the premise, but that was it. But it's like a
demo or is it the game?
Yeah, it's the full game. Yep. It's like a top down roguelike twin stick shooter. Like, it's just you and your buddy rolling through these crazy dungeons where things are shooting at
you.
So
it's co-op then.
Yeah.
Fun.
And we had a blast. We also had a really good legendary nerd.
Oh, cool.
We did like a little bit of an extended legendary nerd segment.
That's one of the best segments of the Scatcast verse, I think, is the legendary nerd.
It's fun.
It's got to be.
It's a lot of fun. But
need to be known.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a documentary made about this one too. So, nice.
People are going.
I have a legendary nerd that is going. He's a subject matter for the dipshit files.
Nice.
So he was a legendary nerd,
and he fucked
and
corpses, probably
a dipshit.
Mm, so yeah, not all nerds are good people.
I will have to. Yeah,
it is known. But yeah, it should be a fun episode.
Heck yeah! Well, we have bonus stuff coming up, and so if you guys are with us on the Patreon, either in Just a Ride or in Scatcast, you can jump on in there.
Join in.
Otherwise, we'll talk at you in the future,
and it'll seem like the present.
Bye.
Goodbye.
It's just a ride. Whoa. Right.
Bing.
Bong.
Pagar!
That was the most chaos in an outro we've ever done.